Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our classics collection. It's a series of select rebroadcasts. This is a real special one. You see, years ago, when we started our radio program, it was first called the Evangelism Hotline. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Martin Arinaga. Here's one of our most captivating stories, the story of our featured guest, Ki Omo. When it comes to young people and bringing them to the reality of a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, one of the first people that come to mind is Ki Omo. Ki Omo serves as the Pearl City Campus Youth Pastor at Grace Bible Church. Previously, Ki served as Operations Director with Grace Bible, as well as serving as the Pastor Assistant in the College Ministry. Ki, a local boy, graduated from Kamehameha Schools, as well as Whitworth College in Spokane, Washington, with a degree in Speech Communications. He also graduated from the Every Nation School of Campus Ministry in 2005 and is currently working on his master's degree at Fuller Theological Seminary. John Wooden said that great basketball legend and iconic coach of the UCLA Bruins, "Young people need models, not critics." And Ki has certainly been one of those fine models to encourage teens, to direct them to the Lord in ways that they can understand and relate with. He's also one of the finest youth speakers I've ever heard. Ki, welcome to our program.
Good afternoon. How's it?
Good to have you, Ki. Tell us about yourself a little bit. And, how did you find the Lord Jesus Christ?
Grew up in a Christian home, and my mom loved the Lord very much. And the first years of my existence, grew up Catholic. But then my mom always had a desire to know God more, in a very more intimate way. So she kind of always had us in mind, and saying, how can I get, my kids to really serve the Lord with all their heart without imposing and pressuring them to do so? So she went on a search, and she searched for, different churches, and trying to find what is the right church body that can do that. We visited a few churches, planted ourselves in there. But it was right around my freshman year in high school where she said, you know what, there's got to be more. And I remember my mom, she's a prayerful, woman, and she would always lock herself in her room, get on her knees, and pray for hours. I mean, I could never understood, how she could do that, but she did. And I knew that a lot of her prayers had to do with how her kids, all five of us, would be able to establish ourselves in an intimate relationship with God. So I remember one night, she just basically just jams right out of the house and says, "Guys, I'm coming back. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm going." So she left, and for hours she was gone, and we're kind of worried about her. But she finally came back, and she says, "Guys, I found the perfect church for our family." What happened was she was driving around, and we were going to Kamehameha Schools at the time, and there's a back gate there, and there's a church up at Aleva Heights by the name of Grace Bible Church. And for some reason, while she was driving, she felt like God was saying, "Go to this church." And this is on a Sunday night. And so she says, "Okay, I'm going to go." So she went, and as soon as she parked her car, she heard loud music, and she says, "I'm going to go check this thing out." So she went in, and she seen young people just jumping up and down and praising God. And the first thing she thought about was her kids. And myself, and she says, "You know what? I'm going to bring my kids to this church." So she came home excited. But see, throughout those years of me growing up to that moment, it's all about just being dragged to church and just, okay, I'm going to go with it. My mom loves God, therefore I love God. So I guess that's how it's supposed to be. But she basically dragged us to this church. And I went in, but the first thing I felt was God's presence. And it was kind of weird. I couldn't explain it really, but I sat there and I just seen young people my age and a little older praising God. You know, the music was hip. The message was just, man, piercing to the heart. And I remember leaving saying, wow, I think I can get used to this. So so we just kept going, you know, and it wasn't until my junior year at KMML that summer where I came to the point after inviting, you know, a few of my friends to our youth group, that, you know what, I need to find God for myself. I can't allow my faith to be determined by my mom's decision. I can't be associated, but I need to find God and what it means to be saved on my own. So I kind of did it on my own little soul search. You know, I kind of looked up, you know, different books, materials about other religions. I read the Bible as much as I could and came to the point where all of my searching always led to God, to the God of the Bible. And I says, you know what? I'm God's drawing me. I'm done running and I'm going to do it right here. And that's when I came under Lordship, was in September of 06. And from that point on, I said, God, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, and you're the Lord over my life, and I'm going to do this for you. So that's kind of the story, you know, in a nutshell. Yeah. Since then, it's been a good journey.
Great. So of all the demographics you could have worked with, you ended up, now you're working with teens.
Yeah.
Now, how did that come about? What is it about the teens that drew you?
You know, that it's divine. That that I'm working with high schoolers and middle schoolers, teens. That's God. It's not me. And the story is when I went up to school to get my master's at the Every Nation Campus Ministry School. That school is mainly for college campus ministry. So the whole deal was when I come home, I'll do ministry at the University of Hawaii. And God knew my heart. Like, He knew that I didn't want to work with teenagers because I'd rather strangle their necks and give them a pile driver before I disciple them or sit down with them. But he turned my heart as soon as I graduated from that campus ministry school. And all I could feel was that prompting saying that you're going to work with teenagers, this youth, this next generation that's going to lead this state. And I wrestled with that. I mean, I really struggled with God. And I think it's okay to ask God questions and doubt a little bit as long as it leads you to progress closer to Him. So I did. I said, God, now you know my heart. You know, I don't want to do this. But He says, you know, be obedient, be faithful, and watch what I'm going to do. I remember coming home, sitting down with Pastor Paris and Pastor Norman Nakanishi, and I said, this is what I feel what God's saying. And they were like, what? Are you serious? And come to find out, like, a lot of people were praying about it, you know, and they didn't tell me about it, but they're praying, and I said, I want to commit to this. And from that point on, stepping on in faith, God has enlarged my heart so much to love these high schoolers and these middle schoolers. And He's been able to really anoint me, I guess you could say, to really be able to connect and to help them with their walk with Jesus Christ, and even introducing them to what it means to have an intimate relationship with God.
So you went from maybe not wanting to work with Him at all to somebody just, I just listened to you and you're excited.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
looking for, so you must have a vision.
Yeah.
The teens, you said something about they're the future. Of course, that's a cliche almost, but
yeah.
in your heart, in your mind, what do you see, teens?
Man, they're going to lead. They're going to lead this state. They're going to lead this country. They're going to do amazing things. And I really believe, I mean, just biblically speaking, I mean, the young people that Jesus used and how much it's exaggerated about how He can use young people to really do His work. I mean, no one's excluded, but there's something special about young people. The excitement, the exuberance, the rawness, the realness. And they bring that, you know, that childlike faith, and being able to I guess stoke that fire that God places in every single one of them, not knowing that it's from God, when they realize that, wow, God has placed this destiny in me, I don't really do much but just to fan that thing, you know. And when they catch fire and there's that fresh revelation, if they just run with it, I mean, they just, no questions asked, as soon as they discover that destiny and that gem that God's placed in them, they can do far more work than myself. I mean, greater things than me, greater things than any of us, probably. Mm-hmm. And that's something that God has, I guess, you know, ordained. It's just a matter of who's going to be the one to steward and guide them in that. And they're going to blow our minds in the next decade, probably, you know.
You know, whenever I talk to Key, and we always somehow end up talking about teens. And, you know, it's been said that passion is more caught than taught.
That's right.
You know, you cannot force it in somebody, but when it is there, you know, it's very evident and compelling to see someone who is so focused and almost with an unbridled zeal for teens. And not only that, but to really see what God is doing in preparation for what God is going to do mm-hmm. in and through them. Mm-hmm. As you're listening today, you're privileged, as we are, to have someone like Ki Omo in our midst. I mean, just being around him fans my flames of passion, and I know it it has to touch you in some way, even as it's touching Alfredo and Martin. You know, time is of the essence. And like I said, we're privileged to have Ki Omo with us. We're focusing today on evangelism and youth, specifically teens, teenagers. Call us at 808-296-5467 to talk story with Ki. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you have some challenges that you're facing with your own teens. Maybe you're a leader in your church and there's some issues that you've got to deal with. Make use of the resource of our program. We're here for you. And we want to help you. We've got Ki Omo here to help us. God is with us today. He's blessing us. Call us at 296-5467. We look forward to hearing from you. We'll be right back. Painlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me.
I lead you on. One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You may
guests.
Have actually heard somebody tell you at some point in your life, remember where you came from. Well, we're doing that in a very direct way, in that today we are remembering where we came from as a radio show a number of years ago when we first started, which eventually became the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. It was called the Evangelism Hotline. That was the beginnings of what we were doing to try to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. We started a radio broadcast, and this special show is part of what we're calling our Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And it's a special program where we feature the life, the story of Pastor Ki Omo. Pastor Ki now is the youth pastor at Grace Bible Church Pearlside. He's married to Chanel, and they have two children, Sila and Piper. I'm joined with my co-host, Master Martin Arinaga and Alfredo Canencia, and we're engaging in this dialogue about young people, how to reach them. At this time, we were live and people were able to call in, so we do mention the telephone number. But again, it's a rebroadcast. Listen in, enjoy, and see what you can get out of it. I think there's some great benefit for you and for your family right now. As we're talking during the break, we're discussing about with Key about evangelizing these precious young people, our teenagers.
You know, I realized as I talk with you, Key, that there's a real passion for you to raise up the next generation. A lot of the times in the old school thinking is, you know, they're part of the youth ministry, and we'll just wait till they grow up mm-hmm. and become adults, and they maybe become leaders. Mm-hmm. But what I hear from you is a passion to help this next generation, as young as they are, as teenagers, to be leaders on their campus. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's leaders of today, the now, and not waiting for it to get older. They have an opportunity to reach their campus or their friends now, you know, mm-hmm. and not having to wait. I couldn't just show up on a campus and be effective, because that's not the group that God has given to me per se. But what I can do is I can help the individual. Right. And discover God, discover destiny, but discover the faith for others and fishing for men, I guess, and reaching out to their own friends. And they would be the key people to reaching their friends. You know, they would do much more of a better job than I could, you know, being 29 and old looking, you know. But God has divinely placed them on the campus, not only to get an education, but to be effective evangelists or missionaries on their campus. It's today. It's of today.
You know, that's you talk about age, and you know, I guess in some ways we kind of all see ourselves as young. I mean, that's our own self perception. You know, mm-hmm. we're young. I remember feeling like that going to one of my daughters when my daughter had a program at her school, and I was sitting there, and this young girl in front who was, you know, she was a teacher. One of the teachers, but she looked very young. And, you know, I guess she turned around and she kind of, you know, accidentally bumped me. And she turned around and she looked up at me and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Uncle."
I've gotten that a few times.
Yeah, and I was like, "Uncle, do I look like Uncle?" You know? But our perception, but what you're saying, though, is that, you know, they have a way of reaching their own.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. It's just a matter of, I guess, understanding my role and what God has called me to do. And that's not to go and be like, "I'm Pastor Key and I'm here to save everyone." No, it's not that. It's just knowing who God has placed in my life as far as youth. And they're the ones who really go out and spread that fire. Yeah. And that's what it means. I mean, they might not be the president of the United States, but they sure are influencers on mm-hmm. their campus. Mm-hmm. And if that's what they're, you know, that God has called them to do, then that's a small fraction of changing the world.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, because of Barack Obama, nobody in Hawaii can really say about someone being a president, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
but certainly leaders, like you said, leaders of in their own right.
Yeah.
And really, part of the thing that I feel with you and what you're saying is that there's no cap.
Mm-hmm.
We have not yet seen, you know, what God intends to do. The best is yet to come,
right?
In terms of the generations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good thing we're on radio. You said you're 29, old looking, while the average age of the group here is like 50. But we're all young looking. Believe it or not, on radio.
Young. I tell Martin to speak for himself.
Yeah. But you know, if we were to walk into a group of teens, I mean, they'll look at us. We don't look like them. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you mentioned it.
Right.
You know, I'm already an alien, except for me, the iPod and the ears. As far as strategies, many of us are parents or we are aunties and uncles. Mm-hmm. We love our teens.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to make them effective leaders, to be confident in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Or what strategies do you have that maybe you can share with us on how we can be better teachers or leaders or examples for these teens that you work with?
Yeah, I think the obvious is prayer. You know, this prayer can do amazing. Prayer can soften the heart of every single person, including these hard-hearted teens that come from some unreal backgrounds that I'm just blown away by where they come from. So prayer, definitely. I think the other thing is they seek relationships. If you can, if they test, they will test. No matter who you are, no matter if you're, you know, the evangelist of the world, they will mm-hmm. test to see if you truly do love them. Mm. And it comes with consistency. It comes with being able to get to know them for more than the obvious, but really internally, where they've come from, who they are. And if you can tap into that trust, then they're willing to listen. And so that relationship is what they desire. And I think helping them to understand who they are in God through the word and also with others, and they tap into that, they discover that they're transformed. There's some they can be used by God to impact the lives around them. I don't know if that those are steps or anything, but I think the big thing is they want to know if you really do love them. That's the biggest thing. If you can get there that you love them, but more importantly that God loves them the most, then they're sold to do the gospel. They're sold to go out and tell people about God.
What about challenges? You know, what kind of challenges do they face? I mean, you're really at the ground level, so to speak. Mm. You know, I mean, you're there, you're integrating with their lives. I mean, we can speak on the ethereal level, mm-hmm. on the philosophical realm of strategy and how important they are. And Jesus said, have the faith of a child. But in light of that, you know, today, you know, in your ministry with teens, mm-hmm. what kind of challenges do they face that might either make them even close to the gospel, or perhaps in some other cases, drive them to be more open to the gospel? Mm-hmm. What have you seen?
Well, drugs, different addictions is huge. Drugs that you might hear that are only exposed to adults are actually getting as young as seventh graders. The area of sex, I mean, that's exposed to as young as sixth graders. And these are, I'm not just, you know, telling you some stuff out of a book, but these are experiences of young people that we actually work with. Stuff they have to go home to. They go home to destructive families, either because parents are yelling at each other, violence, drugs. These dark, you know, these very dark experiences brings up the question, so if there is a God, then why is my life like this? Hmm. Which can either draw someone closer to him or draw them away. And that's where the whole love thing comes in, you know, because they don't experience much love around them, you know, whether in their community, let alone in their school and even in their families, you know, that they're hitting the wall with hope, and it can either draw them or draw them away. So, and those are kind of some of the areas.
How do they experience family then? You know, I mean, if in their home life, I mean, mm-hmm. we're speaking in general terms here, but in their home life, it's, as you say, dark and, you know, with these various overpowering influences. Where do they fill the gaping hole of loneliness, the gap, the relational gap that they long to have with a parent, or as we would look at a healthy relationship within the home? How do they fill that void?
One thing for sure is that we can never replace the family unit, you know, the natural family unit. But I think when they discover a spiritual family in the church and in the small groups, even within their own relationships of believers, friends who come to know the Lord, leaders who love them to death and or love them to life, mm-hmm. It's they discover that there's hope to family, and it's a spiritual family. But then the most exciting thing is when they catch that spiritual family and they have hope once again to see that their natural family comes to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are examples within our church,
exactly.
where these kids are so fired up and they love God. You know, they believe in the excellence that God wants them to be excellent in their schooling, with reaching out, with their relationship with God. But for some reason, they block off the hope of the home. But when they get to the place of saying, wow, I've experienced a spiritual family, there's hope for my family, sometimes they're like the key to unlocking salvation to their own home. And we have stories of, I mean, I could think of one where there's this young girl who's a junior at Waipahu. She got saved and invited her brother, her brothers at Waipahu Middle School. They came under lordship and loved God, started reaching out to their friends. And Waipahu was just exploding with about 35 to even close to 40 every week meeting in a classroom. Hmm. And she felt a prompting. It's almost like God saying, now it's time for your family. And she went out and she was inviting her brother and her sister, her parents. Her parents are kind of closed off, but then her sister came with her husband and her kids. And they've been coming for the last few weeks. And then her brother with his wife came with her kids, and they started coming. And then she came, or her younger brother came up to me, and I said, how about your parents? And they're like, we're believing they're next. Yeah. And that inspired me, because they're not necessarily forgetting the family, natural family, and they're not replacing spiritual family for the natural. But they know that maybe temporarily that spiritual family will give them hope and faith, but they know that they're going to be missionaries in their own family, a natural family, and then they're going to get them saved.
You know, I forgot to mention that Key is pastoring a youth ministry that's one of the fastest growing in the entire state of Hawaii. There's such a dynamic going on, and it just it's growing by leaps and bounds. It's quite amazing to go. I remember being invited to speak at one of the services there, and it was just geared for teens, and it just packed out that Leeward Community College Theater, packed to the gills, really, just with teens, and and how receptive they are. But they're just coming in. When we come back, Key, we want to talk, because there's people who are brothers and sisters in the Lord who are leaders in churches, but they're struggling in their ministry with teens. And we want to help them deposit something in them of hope, of how they can move forward in a much stronger way in the days to come in reaching the teens that God has placed within the confines or the outreach of their church. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ki Omo as our special guest. Not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me. I'll lead you home. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
For some people, the challenge might just be overbearing. I mean, it just leads to frustration. It leads to aggravation. It really, in some instances, might not bring out the best in you. What I'm talking about is I'm talking about reaching young people. I'm talking teenagers here. For some people, it could be rough. And then for others, it seems to be so natural, so organic. There's such a grace, anointing, and blessing on them that when they do it, there's so much fruit. And then it causes even more fire to burn, as it were, within the passion. And it's magnetic. Other people around them begin to feel that very same thing. Well, that's the kind of person we have on our show. Someone who has a gift, a grace to reach teens. His name is Pastor Ki'omo. He's the youth pastor at Grace Bible Church Pearlside. Now, today's show, it's a rebroadcast of a program that was aired several years ago when we were first starting our show. It's called the Evangelism Hotline. That's what it was called back then. And Pastor Ki came on as our guest, and I just felt, you know, it was one of those where it was still relatable, relevant to what goes on today. I'm joined in studio for this particular rebroadcast. Joining me was Martin Arenaga and Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest, Pastor Ki'omo. We were talking about some deposits, you know, of what are some practical things that we can do, and Alfredo, you had some things that you wanted to lead in on that.
Yeah, you know, Ki, if there's maybe a youth leader or maybe a youth pastor that's listening, you know, to the program today, what are some of the strategy, or, you know, you don't have to be, you know, real detailed, but maybe in a nutshell, and how you go about maybe taking some young teens and really infiltrating a campus. What are the things that you do?
I think there's a huge importance in students leading students.
Right.
And I think it goes beyond, and I say this sensitively, goes beyond the pizza and soda, you know,
right,
and
right.
the talking head. But it's really being able to get the few that have a passion to see that their campus is reached, their friends are getting saved and coming to know the Lord. And those are the leaders, those ones that burn with fire. Really train them as leaders and watch it grow much faster, because students are reaching students, friends are reaching friends, than if it was a 29-year-old youth pastor going on campus doing it. I think it starts there, is getting the young people involved.
So you get them into these understand small groups on the campus.
Yeah,
is it like before school or after school or during lunchtime?
You know, varies. It's not on what's comfortable for me, but it's really on what passionately comes out of them. I mean, the ones in our youth ministry, there's a few that start before school, and there's some that meet during lunchtime. That's they actually true. Sacrifice their lunchtime so they can get into relationship and to God a little bit. And then there's a bunch that are after school, but it's student-led. That's the biggest thing and the reason why I think we've been so successful in seeing a youth ministry.
How often do you meet with them?
It's once a week. It's a once-a-week small group on every single campus.
So you're with the leaders of these campus groups?
Well, what we've been able to establish is that I'm not necessarily on every single campus, but that there are established student leaders that are running it.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of making sure that these student leaders are trained and discipled to be successful and confident leaders.
Now, let me make sure I'm hearing correctly. So you're talking maybe a sophomore in high school, a junior in high school, a senior. Then they're leading the group.
They are. Yeah, they are. They are. And then I'll meet with them later on and just ask them, how did it go? And they're like, oh, this is great. Oh, it's not that good. But it's in those moments of even success and failure where you can get the best leadership, you know, teachings out of, you know, and that's all a part of training.
Now, in these small groups, you usually have what kind of resources you use as far as, you know, helping these young leaders facilitate the group?
Mm-hmm. We, you know, at our services every Friday night, there's a message, and for the most part, all of our leaders are there. What we've done in the past is we've had a sheet where I would, you know, write some questions down and they would take that back to their group. But I felt like in the season where whatever came out of the message that they hear, whatever's in their heart, they would then create the question because they connect better with the youth than myself, you know? So they would know the need of the friends at the Victory Club or the students, and it would just help guide them in that.
Key, you know, the rhythm and timing, rhythm and timing. The rhythm and timing of a teen's life on average, you know, like the average teen. You know, spring, summer, winter, and fall, you know, there's the ebb and flow of life. What would you you observe as the way what is their rhythm like?
When you say rhythm, what do you mean by?
Yeah, do they go by, whether it's like Christmas, Easter, like a lot of churches, when they think Christmas, Easter, those are the seasons of the church. And then, but in their mind, what is it like football season or is it like sports season, start of this new school year? We're looking for summer. I mean, how do they flow in a year? Like, you know, in terms of their interests and
For fall is always huge. I mean, there's always a big draw. Football season, it's a battle, but then it's huge. If you're talking about the draw of growth, I guess, I don't know if that's the direction. But the fall has always been a positive one. Summer always tends to be the tough one because they scatter, you know. So okay. They scatter, but there's a huge advantage when school's in session because it builds a structure around them.
Okay.
You know, and we really take advantage of that structure. Mm-hmm. Summertime, they can, you know, they do whatever they want. So it's hard to gather unless, you know, they're on it. Spring, you know, it settles. So we have to be aware of the different seasons, quote unquote seasons, to be able to address the certain needs or what we need to do. So.
So it becomes strategic, then you're actually leveraging the school structure.
Yeah, definitely.
As a means of outreach, as a means of cohesiveness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it may be helpful to church leaders, too,
exactly.
Who are thinking of how to engage and, you know, not only strategic thinking, but very practical.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, earlier you mentioned about relationships, that teens are really looking for relationships. Now, teens tend to be connected, internet, texting, Facebook, you got all these things going on. So from the outside looking in, teens are connected in a way that I never was. Maybe at a different level, perhaps more superficial. Mm. But in ministry, how does that help you? Does it hinder you? How can you use or how are you using that to help you? Or is it just there so you just live in this world?
Yeah. Technology it can be something you take advantage of or something that you just don't and be ignorant to it, but I'd rather take advantage of it. Stuff like MySpace, which a lot of the youth are on, they're on it. You know, sometimes they don't pick up their phones, but they're on MySpace. So that's where I'm at. You know, different information things, MySpace. Text messaging is big, you know. So that's the different ways of connecting with them. And I love when I have the opportunity to just shoot out an encouraging text message to the youth or youth leaders, just saying, you know, I'm praying for you, believing for you, allow God to use you this day. Something real short like that will go a long way, you know. And when you're consistent with it, because consistency with youth is key. When you're consistent with it, they know that you care. And something like as small as a text is big. So I take advantage of technology. I mean, I just thank God for technology. It makes relationship easier.
Mm. You know, timing is so important. I'm a parent. I've just my daughter's off to school, so this is distance. And sometimes I look at ourselves, and sometimes are we too critical? As parents, we want the best for our children, and we have high expectations. We want to instill upon us a sense of excellence, and yet sometimes we have to step back. And maybe we were too critical, and it's created some damage in this relationship. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, or you've worked with teens that are in that. How are ways that we can begin to repair this relationship?
I can't speak as a parent because I'm not, but I can sure speak as a someone who's grown up in a family where ministry was big, and I love my mom very much because she, as passionate as she was, she knew that there was a balance, and she knew how much she needed to let go of us and having to make decisions on our own. but she wasn't overcritical where we did make a bad decision. She's the first face that we'll see yelling, you know, but she would continue to love us regardless of the mistakes that we've made. And I learned from my mom, knowing that in the future I'll be a parent and a father, but that there's a fine balance, you know. And one thing that my mom always did, and I always knew she did, was pray.
That's good.
And that something, man, when you just commit to that prayer for a child, it I mean, as much control you want possibly over, you know, them, the prayer, it reminds you of the trust to have in God, and that God is the one that can change a heart. And because of that, and because of her action out of prayer and being able to release and know when to be there to love and release and know when to love, that game of balance, I think she did a pretty good job. But that's what I would have to say with parents, is prayer, and that game of balance is important.
I think that's really important. You know, I have a son that's a freshman, and sometimes I can be telling him things, you know, that I want him to do, you know, spiritual things. And here comes Kiomo saying the exact same thing that I said, but fresh voice, younger guy, better looking. And for some reason,
29 years old.
For some reason, my son listens. And I want to, you know, and I realize my part maybe is more praying and just supporting and just encouraging on the side.
Yeah.
And let other people even, you know, sometimes speak truth into their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And I never take the place of a, I can't take the place of a parent, but what I like is the partnership that I have with them.
Yeah.
And give them the confidence that, you know, hang in there. When I can tell a parent, hang in there and pray for them. And we're partnering together to see that they discover God in their own way and in a real way. So it's not like, you know, step aside, I'll take care of it. No, it's just this partnership that happens that's powerful, you know, with a parent. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, as far as from the teen's perspective, we position, there's a parent, the biological earthly parent, and then there's God, the heavenly parent. How do you explain to that relationship to someone that comes from a different type of a relationship? Maybe there's a strain in the relationship, but they don't quite understand the love that you share. How do you weave that into having them really understand that there is a God that loves us?
Well, I think at first, you know, especially if they come from a background that they don't really experience love from a family, having them discover the love of God can easily be said, but for them, for it to sink into their heart, for them to really believe it, it takes time. It really does take time, because their association with how I'm loved in the family is, unfortunately, is associated with how God loves me. You know, it's correlated together. And that's why the spiritual family, they need to see examples of it, you know. So how they would check to see how I respond to certain things. They'll even check to see my relationship with my own mom. They'll see my relationship with my fiance, with other youth. And then they can say, okay, I kind of believe it now. And you know, I think God, in those examples, those healthy examples, that God can allow God to kind of work on their heart. And it's a matter of time where God says, okay, I've softened you up. Now begin to what the Bible says, to honor and respect your parents and begin to love them as much as you love, you know, anything else. So
early in the program, Danny had mentioned that young people need models, not critics. Models. So it's true.
Yeah. They need models, yeah.
Now, let's push it a little bit further here. What about a parent who feels like they just totally blown it? You know, a Christian parent, for example. You know, you do your best to live the way that you feel God wants you to live, and you have those great days and weeks, and you're just building them up and guiding them. And now we're not talking about a completely busted up dysfunctional home with a great deal of decrepitness from the way that a dark side that you see, but it's a different type of shadiness from the standpoint of, you know, it's a Christian home. Dad, mom goes to church, you know, smile, praise the Lord, amen, you know. And then it's kind of like one of those where you're yelling, you're scolding your kid, or you're fighting with your spouse, and the phone rings, and it's somebody go, oh, hi, how are you? You know, God bless you. All of a sudden, there's a change, you know. I think in one way or another, we've all sort of experienced that. But In the life of a child that you built up, and all of a sudden they so disappoint you, and you get discouraged, and you just, you know, you say things that you wish, as they're coming out of your mouth, they're going into the atmosphere. You wish you could grab them back and pull them back in, but it's already out there. They've heard a disparaging, discouraging word, or looked at the scowl on your face and like, oh, Jesus all of a sudden turned on me. You know, I mean, he doesn't look the same anymore. What would you say?
Forgiveness is huge. You know, I think there it starts there. You know, and I think for any parent to humbly ask for forgiveness from a parent, to their child, I think a child really embraces that first of all.
Wow.
Because I think the first mentoring comes from the home.
Hmm.
You know, and sometimes we can bypass the forgiveness part.
Yeah.
And I think when mentoring follows with the lack of or the absence of forgiveness, it really doesn't hit. But it's something that God does in the presence of forgiveness that they were like, wow, in the humility. Yes. And I think it really does start with the forgiveness part, which might be forgotten sometimes.
Confess your sins one to another that you might be healed.
Kids.
Doesn't the Bible say that? Josh McDowell even said, forgiveness is the oil of all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You've hit a good point there, Key. When we come back, Martin's got the evangelism tip of the week. A great age to reach someone for Christ. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It started a few years ago. It was called the Evangelism Hotline. That was the beginnings of our radio program. It's now the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I want to welcome you back. We have a special rebroadcast today as part of our classics collection. To find out more about our show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. We've got all kinds of resources there, free downloads for you. And even for someone who wants to find out how to have a relationship with Christ, you can do that at the Get to Know Jesus tab right there on our website. We're here with our featured guest, Ki Omo. I'm with my co-hosts, Martin Arenaga and Alfredo Canencia. Since the broadcast was recorded, Kiomo is married now. He's got two children. He's married to Chanel. And he's got two kids. And he also is the youth pastor at Grace Bible Church Pearlside. His children are Sila and Piper. And now here's more with our featured presentation and an evangelism tip of the week from Martin Arenaga. For more information on Kiomo and his ministry, go to www.gbchawaii.org and click on the leadership link. Martin Arenaga has our evangelism tip of the week.
According to the Barna Group, nearly half, or 43% of all Americans who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13. 64%, that's two out of three Christians, they accept Christ before their 18th birthday. What does this tell us? There is a higher probability of someone reaching Christ at an earlier age. We must focus much of our resources accordingly.
And there you have it, a higher probability of someone receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that as we're doing today. Let's continue this on. Just like Kiomo is leading the way, almost as a pioneer in the generation that we're living in now, a pioneer for the next generation. One of the things about reaching young people is that, you know, young people need role models. You've needed role models. I've needed role models. In fact, the kind of role models that we've had largely influenced the kind of people we become. And the support of youth ministries, reaching teens, you know, I really want to encourage that. Certain people who are listening right now are in positions of influence. You can call it positions of power in your church. Every church has, you know, power of people that influence. There's certain churches have power struggles that go on. But you can be one to turn the course of the way things go. God can use you. Sometimes it's a vote. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's a story that needs to be told because the budget item will either be cut or more investment will be given to it. And I just want to reiterate what we've been going on along the way in this rebroadcast with Pastor Kiomo of the value of the young people in our churches today. And to look back, if you look at the scriptures, you read the Bible, you'll see that the Lord distinctly has a very special place in his heart for young people. So much so that when you look at many of our biblical heroes, many of them, well, they did some of their greatest work when they were young. Some of them did their greatest work when they were teens. They came upon seasons in their early life where they expressed firm convictions that were really foundational for the kind of lives that they lived in the future. Sometimes we wait so long for someone's leadership potential to be shown when in the very essence, reality is that the signs are already there. Maybe not even when they're teens. Maybe you see some things display themselves in terms of character when they're children. And oh, if we were to just reinforce that. Well, for some of us, we need to begin to recognize it. Recognize that, okay, that's a character quality that God has already instilled in this little child. Let's enhance that. Let's provide opportunities, experiences for them to have. Of course, when we say all of this, you know, you and I both know that there is no such thing as a perfect life. From the standpoint of, hey, you live, you make mistakes. In fact, we grow because of the mistakes that we make. We grow most when we do make mistakes. And sometimes we allow ourselves to make mistakes. Sometimes we're more forgiving. I'm more forgiving of myself sometimes than I am of other people making mistakes or my children. when in fact, instead of reprimanding a mistake just because it's a mistake or a failure, maybe this is sort of an upside down idea for many people, but maybe I should encourage that. Not encourage failure for failure's sake, but encourage the learning experiences that take place, because if you don't fail, what do you have to correct? How much can you really grow? You know, these things, to me, as I look at them now, and we each have our opinions, and you can certainly email me on what you think, or you can send me a Facebook note. I'd love to hear. I'd love to dialogue. I'm sure other people would love to dialogue too. But it's the beauty of failure. When we grow out of it, we literally learn things and we advance and we accelerate our learning perhaps faster than other people who are afraid to, quote unquote, pull the trigger on that opportunity. And they let it pass by because they never wanted to fail. They never wanted to be ridiculed. They never wanted to look at themselves and say, it didn't work out. When, on the other hand, someone else is just trying and trying and trying and trying. I kind of think back at the Babe Ruth, the great baseball player. He's the home run king, and yet he was also the strikeout king. He increased his rate of success. Really, you could see it just by his practice, by increasing his rate of failure. He wanted to get up to bat more often, took those big swings more often, struck out more often than anybody else, but he succeeded. It just goes back. I look at Pastor Key Omo. He's doing it. And I look at the young people and the opportunity we have to allow them to accelerate their growth and their learning. Well, you know, this is the Good Life Warrior Radio Show. That was the Evangelism Hotline. That's what we started as. And today I just ask you to reach out to a young person or someone who's reaching out to young people. Encourage them. Support them. To learn more about our show, you need prayer. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of our partner churches, our partner businesses, and those that can help meet your needs. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Key Omo. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Martin Arenaga and Alfredo Canencia, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.